Most investors feel helpless when they look at the stock market. They feel they should do something because they feel they're going to lose all of their money. But not you, because you follow me, A.B. Ridgeway, Mr. Christian Finance himself, and my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. With over a decade of experience and a certified private wealth advisor professional, I am here to help you answer all of your investment questions so you can be rich and righteous. Well, welcome back to Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things, where we explore the keys to financial freedom and the secrets to wise investing. Today, we're diving deep into one of the most important topics for any investor, the secret to successful investing, which is control. Whether you're just dipping your toes into the world of finance or you've been swimming in these waters for years, this episode is for you. So, how do investors like the Wolf of Wall Street, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, and other billionaires master the stock market? Now I'll tell you, by understanding control. On this episode, I'll be sharing both the psychological and technical aspects of controlling your investments that can help you navigate the financial markets with confidence. By the end of this episode, you'll have a better understanding of what you can control, what you can't, and how to make the best decision with your financial advisor. As we go through today, each part is going to build upon each other, so make sure you listen the whole way through, because every part is important. So the first is really understanding control, and we're going to go with the foundation of smart investing. So let's start talking about this concept of control. The concept itself is very fundamental, not just in investing, but in life in general. And hopefully you've heard sayings similar to this. If not, I'll be the first one to break it to you. Control what you can control and confront the rest. You can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you react. If you can't control your emotions, you'll never be able to control your money. Three very powerful quotes that we can actually add into our lives. I'll say them one more time. Control what you can control and confront the rest. You can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you react. And lastly, if you can't control your emotions, you'll never be able to control your money. These sayings capture the essence of what it means to manage not just our lives, but our finances. When it comes to investing, understanding what you can control versus what you can't is very crucial. It's the difference between a well-thought-out strategy and a roller coaster of emotions. Here's an example for you. Imagine you're driving a car. You can control the speed, you can control the direction, and when to brake. But you can't control the weather, the traffic, or the actions of the other drivers. Investing is very similar to this. There are elements that you can directly control. You know, you have this direct control over, like your investment choices and how much risk you're willing to take. But there are also factors beyond your control, like market fluctuation, inflation, and political events. Even though we like to talk about politics, we're not the ones making the decisions. We can vote, but we have people in place that we elect that are actually making these decisions, and they're making it on a wide range of topics, so many that we need 50, hundreds of people to actually do the work of the federal government. So the key to smart investing is to focus on what you can control and let go of what you can't. This doesn't mean ignoring the extreme factors. They're important, but it means not letting them dictate your every move. Understanding this balance is the first psychological secret to successful investing. So let's move on a little bit here to control bias and how our minds kind of play tricks on us. And we're going to dig deeper into this concept of control by talking about this concept of control bias. In one of our recent newsletters titled, Your Brain is the Worst Advisor When You Invest, we explore the concept of heuristics, those mental shortcuts our brains use to make decisions quickly. While these shortcuts can be helpful in everyday life, they also lead to biases that skew our judgment. Control bias is one of these biases. It occurs when we overestimate our ability to control or influence outcomes that are, well, in reality, beyond our control. This bias is especially common in investing, where the stakes are usually high and the outcomes are often unpredictable. So let me give you another example that you may be familiar with, gambling. If you've ever been to a casino, like in Las Vegas or somewhere like that, or even in Reno, you've probably seen someone shaking the dice, you know, just really hard. Like, come on, seven. Or maybe they got a lucky charm in their pocket, right? They may tap on the table three times before rolling, convinced that these rituals will somehow influence the outcome. But deep down, we all know the truth, right? Rolling the dice is completely random. These rituals are just a way for gamblers to convince themselves that they have some control over the outcome. In the world of investing, control bias can manifest in similar ways. Investors might check these portfolios obsessively, believing that frequent monitoring will somehow improve their returns. Well, I'm looking at it, so it can't fall if I'm looking at it. I'm be able to catch it. Or they might follow specific routines like buying and selling at a certain time of the day, like it's noon or it's 1 o'clock. This is when stocks are hot, thinking this will give them an edge. But in reality, these actions often have little to no impact on the outcome. Now, I like to call this willful ignorance. If you were to ask those same gamblers, or investors for that matter, when they're in a calm, rational state, they'll likely admit that their actions have no real effect on the outcome if they're not plagued by cognitive dissonance. Now, what cognitive dissonance is when you are approached with the truth that goes against your belief system, you protect your belief system by ignoring the information. You act like it's irrelevant, or you try to find holes in the argument not to admit that what was said was true. But in the heat of the moment, the desire to feel in control can override our logic. This need for control, I believe, stems from a deeper fear of helplessness. No one likes feeling like they're at the mercy of forces beyond their control, whether it's the roll of a dice or the swing of the market. This fear can even prevent people from seeking financial advice. They worry that asking for help will make them seem like they don't have their finances or just maybe even their lives under control. Have you ever felt that way? But let me reassure you, seeking advice isn't a sign of weakness. Not at all. It's a sign of wisdom. We all need help in different areas of our lives, and investing is no different. A good financial advisor can provide the guidance you need to make informed decisions and avoid the pitfalls of control bias. So, let's talk about controlling your investments and sort of like this balancing act between in control and out of control, because we've explored the psychological aspect of control. So let's turn our attention kind of to the practical side, controlling your investments, right? Investing can be intimidating, especially if you're new to it, or if you've recently come into a large sum of money like an inheritance or a retirement payout. Suddenly you're faced with a myriad of choices and the stakes feel higher than ever. You finally got a lump sum of something that you've accumulated for over 20 years, $500,000, $1 million, and you're like, what do I do with this money? Now, in these situations, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. You might find yourself doing one of these three things. One, doing nothing. You might decide, you know what, I'm just going to leave the money untouched, closing your eyes and hoping it will be there when you need it. Two, taking full control. You might decide to take matters into your own hands, managing every aspect of your investment yourself. Oh, how do I trade? I need to buy this. I need to hold this. And oh, what does this look like? And what does this stock look like? And oh, I need to look at TV and the newspaper and figure everything out. Whew, I'm getting anxiety just thinking about it. And three, you could relinquish control. You might decide to hand over the responsibility to a financial advisor, trusting them to make the right decision on your behalf. Each of these approaches involves a different level of control, and each has its pros and cons. But the key is finding the right balance for your situation. So once again, let's dig a little bit deeper. We're really going into this idea of control, and it's necessary for you to know so you can be a better investor. It's not about just the stocks and bonds, but it's about the wisdom behind it. We talk about Moses all the time. Moses brought the law. Jesus brought the wisdom and the spirit of the law. So here, even though we talk about stocks and bonds, which is the technical aspect, we need to get in control of the psychological aspect, which is this sense of control. So if you choose to do nothing, you're essentially relinquishing control by default. You're hoping that the market will be kind to you and that your investments will grow over time without any intervention. While this might work in some cases, it always leaves you vulnerable to market downturns and missed opportunities. Now, on the other hand, taking full control can be empowering, but it also can be risky. Without the right knowledge and experience, you might make decisions based on emotion rather than logic. You might be tempted to buy and sell frequently, trying to time the market, a strategy that rarely pays off in the long run. Now, finally, relinquishing control to a financial advisor can be a wise move, especially if you're not confident in your own ability to manage your investments. But it's important to remember that even when you work with an advisor, you're still in control of the overall direction of your investments. Your advisor is there to guide you, but the final decisions are always yours. Your money, your choice. And this brings us back to control bias. Remember, constantly checking the markets, calling your advisor every day, or micromanaging your portfolio won't change the outcome. Okay? Checking the markets, calling your advisor every day, or micromanaging your portfolio won't change the outcome. These behaviors are rituals we create to convince ourselves that we're in control, even when we're not. So, what's the solution? The psychological secret to great financial decisions is understanding what elements of the market you can control and what elements you can't. We can do this by identifying and letting go of your control bias. You'll be better equipped to make sound, rational decisions that align with your long-term goals. Now, let's continue on and let's start thinking about controlling where you can make decisions and focusing on what you control. So we need to talk about how can you control the markets and make sure that you make the right decisions? Well, I have some good news and I have some, not so good news. The not so good news is that you can't control, predict, or manipulate the markets. No matter how experienced you are or how much research you do, there will always be factors beyond your control. Now, people do try to manipulate the market. These are the people who have billions of dollars, but we do have checks and balances in place. Can't say we can protect from everything, but in most cases, you cannot manipulate the market because the SEC will be on your tail and they're going to find out whether you own a billion-dollar business like FTX or you're just sitting in your living room. They're going to find you, okay? So let's get that out of our mind. Plus, we want to do the right thing. The market is influenced by a complex web of economic, political, and social forces that are impossible to predict with complete accuracy. We don't know what's going on in the Middle East. We don't know what's going on over here that's going to trigger some of these results, okay? There's too much information that we are not privy to that influences the market in ways that we cannot control. But here is the good news. While you can't control the markets, you can control how you respond to them. You can control your investment strategy, your risk tolerance, and your decision-making process. And that's where your focus should be, and that's where a remainder of your focus should stay. Now, think back to this quote that I mentioned earlier. Control what you can control and confront the rest. This is where a good financial advisor comes into play. A financial advisor can help you focus on the elements of your investment strategy that are within your control, such as asset allocation, diversification, and risk management. For example, you can control how much risk you're willing to take by choosing investments that align with your risk tolerance. You can control how you diversify your portfolio to spread out risk and reduce the impact of any one single investment that you may make. You can control your investment horizon, how long you're willing to stay invested before needing to access your money, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. By focusing on these controllable factors, you can improve your odds of making good financial decisions, even in the face of market volatility. So let's move on to controlling this risk, which is really the heart of portfolio management. Okay. When we talk about managing a portfolio, what we're really talking about is managing risk. Every investment comes with some level of risk. And as an investor, your goal is to be compensated for the risk that you take. The more risk you take, the more potential reward you can expect, right? You should get paid for the risk that you take. And conversely, the less risk that you take, the lower your potential return. I'm sorry, you can't have it both ways. You can't take very low risk with very high returns. It doesn't work that way. But here's the key here. Not all risks are created equal. Some risks are within our control, while others are not. So wouldn't you agree that if you're going to risk your hard-earned money in the market, you should be compensated fairly for that risk? True or false? True. The market agrees, which is why investments with potentially higher returns also come with higher risk. But it's important to remember that not all risks are worth taking. Also, what you consider high risk may not be what the market considers high risk. You may get into a bond and say, this is very risky. I'm scared. They should be paying me 20, 30, 40, 50%. No, it doesn't work that way. Your fear is not the same as risk. We have calculations for risk. We have standard deviation and other things to judge the risk within an investment. And fear is not one of them. Well, there is a calculation that we do to determine the sentiments of investors and how that may affect stocks in general. But that's a whole nother type of conversation. Let's just keep it very simple here. Just remember that risk is relative. Okay. Now let's look at a real world example, FTX. In 2021, FTX revenue soared more than 1,000% to over, I think, $1 billion or so. It seemed like a golden opportunity for investors. Well, until it wasn't. The company recently filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, leaving many investors with significant losses. This is the classic example of high risk, high reward, and the dangers that come with it. As the saying goes, all that glitters is not gold. Just because an investment offers the potential for high returns doesn't mean it's the right choice for you. It's essential to find the right balance of risk and reward that aligns with your financial goals and risk tolerance. So now that we talked about the controllable risk, let's talk about uncontrollable risk and the reality of what they call systematic risk. Now, when we talk about things that are outside of our control in the market, we're typically talking about systematic risk. These risks that affect the entire market, and no matter how smart or experienced you are, you can't avoid them. Some examples include interest rate risk. This is a risk that says that changes in interest rates will affect the value of your investments, particularly bonds. When interest rates go up, bond prices typically go down, and vice versa. There's a thing called political risk. New laws, regulation, or government policies can impact businesses and, in turn, your portfolio. Political events like elections, trade wars, or international conflicts can also create uncertainty in the market. And last is inflation risk. Not last of the risk, but the last of my list. This is the risk that inflation will erode the purchasing power of your investment returns, even if your returns are growing. If inflation is rising faster, your real return may be lower than what you expect. That's why we talk about savings accounts all the time. If you're only getting 0.00 something and inflation is 3%, you're losing 3% of your purchasing power. Okay, that is a risk. So you need to either A, put your money somewhere where it's going to grow faster than inflation, or B, run the risk of not being able to buy the things that you think you will be in the future. Now, these are the types of risks that many investors believe they or their financial advisors actually can control. But the reality is you can't. These risks are inherent to the market and they will always be present. The key is not to panic when these risks materialize, but to have a plan to place to manage them. And if your advisor is taking credit for lower inflation or, you know, interest rates and all this other stuff, then get another financial advisor. Let's just say that that's not who you want to deal with. Someone who's going to take credit for something that they have no control over. Okay. So let me give you another example. When the market experiences a downturn, it's easy to blame yourself or even your advisor for that matter for poor investment choice. Why did you choose this? Why did we do this? We should have done this. I knew I should have did this. This stock was soaring. You told me no. And I told you yes. And it's just a whole different problem. But more often than not, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, these downturns are the result of broader market forces that no one can predict or control. The same goes for unexpected market upswings. They're usually driven by factors outside of your control, like a sudden drop in interest rates or a favorable political development. As a financial advisor, I don't take credit for these market movements, and neither should any ethical advisor. Our job is to guide you through the ups and downs and help you stay focused on your long-term goals rather than getting caught up in short-term market fluctuations. We could be here all day. That's why the news exists, because they're constantly talking about the day-to-day. Can you imagine if the news about the markets only came on once every 3 months, right? They wouldn't have nothing to report on. Now, let's kind of shift our focus to the risks that are within our control or within your control. And we're going to talk about the power of diversification. And this is what we call idiosyncratic risk. These are risks specific to individual companies or assets, and they can be managed through careful investment decisions and diversification. That's what you probably hear all the time. Diversify, diversify, diversify. And this is why. Because idiosyncratic risk is just kind of like a fancy term for risks that are unique to a particular company or industry. So for example, Enron went bankrupt. It was because of issues specific to Enron, not the market as a whole. So in contrast, when interest rates go up, everyone feels it, regardless of which companies they're invested in. So how do you control idiosyncratic risk? Well, I kind of answered it already for you. It's through diversification. By spreading your investments across different companies, industries, and asset classes, you can reduce your exposure to any single risk. For example, if you have 100% of your investments in your company stock and that company goes bankrupt, you could lose everything. But if you're invested in 1,000 different stocks and one company goes bankrupt, your loss is minimized. Diversification works because it reduces the impact of any one single investment on your portfolio. But it's not just about like adding a bunch of random stocks to your portfolio. You need to consider factors like correlation to the market, covariances, variances, and other risk management calculations. This is where a financial advisor can add significant value by constructing a portfolio that balances risk and reward in a way that aligns with your financial goals. So the final piece we really need to get under our control is our emotions. Okay. Now that we covered the different types of risk and how to manage them, let's talk about our feelings just a little bit. And the truth is, even the best investment strategy can be derailed by three things: fear, greed, and anxiety. When the market is down, it's natural to feel anxious or maybe even panicked. But it's essential to remember that market downturns are a normal part of the investment cycle. They happen to everyone, and they're usually temporary. Now, the worst thing you can do during a downturn is to make impulsive decisions based on fear. Instead, I want you to focus on what you can control. You can control your asset allocation, your diversification strategy, and your investment horizon. You can control how much risk you're willing to take and how you respond to market movements. By keeping your emotions in check and sticking to your plan, you'll be better equipped to weather the storm and come out ahead in the what? The short term? No, the long term. So think about it this way. If you've invested in a well-diversified portfolio that's aligned with your risk tolerance and financial goals, you can sleep peacefully at night knowing that you're positioned to withstand market downturns. You've already confronted the risk you can control, and you've accepted the risk that you can't. Now it's just a matter of staying the course. So as we kind of close up and we wrap up today's episode, I want to leave you with a piece of wisdom from the Bible. An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. This verse reminds us that wisdom comes from seeking knowledge and understanding, and that applies to investing as much as it does to life. You don't have to hide from your investments and hope for the best. And you don't have to go at it alone. A good financial advisor can be your guide, helping you navigate the emotional ups and downs of the market and making sure you stay focused on your long-term goals. Remember, when the markets are rough, emotions can run high. But with a better understanding of what you can control and what you can't, you'll have a better chance of staying invested and reaping the rewards of the risks you're taking. In future episodes, we'll be diving into topics like risk aversion, where we'll explore why some investors prefer low risk, low reward options, and whether that's the right approach for you. We'll discuss how a risk averse strategy can impact your financial freedom and what you can do to find the right balance. So if you're an investor who still thinks a savings account is going to make you financially free, make sure that you tune in. You might be surprised by what you learn. As always, feel free to share this episode with your friends and check out our website for more information. We're constantly updating the website, so if you haven't visited recently, take a look at the new. If you're not subscribed, make sure you hit that subscribe button. If you love episodes like this, hit like, subscribe, share it with your friends, help us out. That is the best way to make sure this content continues to come out so we can help you retire to be rich and righteous. Brothers and sisters, make sure that you download our free 4 Pillars to Christian Investing. The link is going to be in the description. It's going to go over debt management, savings, investing, and wealth transfers. If you are new to investing or you want to learn, make sure you click that link in the description. Get your free copy today, your free ebook that's going to go from start to finish about the different accounts, how to use them, and what they're good for, so you can have a strong foundation to learning about investing in retirement. Okay. Well, thank you for listening. Remember, control what you can, let go of the rest. And until next time, my name is AB Ridgway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.